Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have a guest in studio. Looks like a normal guy. Looks like he could be working for UPS. He could be a teacher. He doesn't look like a former football player, but he was. He played for a long time. John Dorenbos is his name.
No. John Badass.
I mean, John.
Yeah, I'm taking it.
Come on, baby. 14 years you get out? 13?
Yeah, 14, man.
14 years. Former Eagle. How you feeling, buddy? You good?
Hey, I'm alive, man. Life is good. So,
it's a good start.
14 years in, I got no complaints, man.
Yeah, and you have this new book out.
Interesting story.
Life is magic. No, it's not interesting. It's like, it's crazy.
Oh.
Your story. And it's insane. And I know a little bit about this because John has done a couple of events with Thuzio.
Okay.
So I did one in New York, did one in Philadelphia, obviously, where he's, you know, like iconic and the magic is spectacular. But I mean, most people think of football players, they don't think of magicians.
No.
Right?
No.
And it just doesn't, like, you know, stupid jock, dumb jock. You're not smart enough to learn how to the sleight of hand. You know it, and you do it unbelievably well, including America's Got Talent, which was awesome.
Isn't that where they coined the phrase, go birds, right?
Yeah. Well,
peace out, go birds.
Peace out, go birds. Come on,
there
man.
You go, brother.
Peace out, go birds.
I got you.
But the reason you started it is it's tragic. I mean, your story is unbelievable. I hate to turn it down, but it is what it is, and it's your story, and it's in this book. When you were 11 years old, your father killed your mother.
Yeah.
And you escaped into magic. Tell us a little bit about this background, because some people might not know.
So, 11, 12 years old. You're old enough to know what's going on. You're old enough to understand life, and you're excited to hang out with your dad, right? Like, mm-hmm. your dad's your hero, and he's gonna teach you how to change a tire, and, like, you're becoming a man. I came home and found out that he had murdered my mom out of nowhere. And as far as I know, we didn't have an abusive home. We didn't have domestic violence on the regular, as far as I was concerned. So it was a complete shock. My sister and I went into temporary foster care for about a year and a half. Went through the most intense therapy you could possibly imagine. My dad was sentenced with second-degree murder. The max punishment in Washington State at the time was 13 years. So he got sentenced to 13 years, served 11. And your whole life gets turned upside down, man. I mean, somebody that you're supposed to trust and love now all of a sudden becomes the one that betrays you in the most violent way. And it was about figuring my life out. And, you know, the therapy for me hit me also at an age where I was extremely influential, and I was extremely like a sponge trying to figure out which direction do I want to go. Mm-hmm. And it could have gone good or bad.
Yeah.
And so it was young enough for me that they were able to save me, and it was old enough for me to completely understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if that was going to happen to me, obviously I would have liked more time with my mom. But it didn't, and it happened at a time, so here we are.
Did you actually walk into the home and see your mom?
No. So it had happened, and I had come home right after, and he kept me from it. My dad and I hung out that night. He then cleaned up everything, and he used a bench grinder and a sledgehammer. It was really bad.
Wow.
And so, and part of the therapy was my sister and I actually had a private court order to have a private viewing of an autopsy photo. And our therapist, everybody thought he was crazy,
Jesus.
Right? And now at the time, our therapist was like, everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I don't even care if you look at these. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you decide to look at these and one day you decide to see your dad, for whatever reason, of which is not a popular opinion right now, but it'll be for reasons other than wanting to know what happened. Because this right here, kid, this is what happened. Hmm. And the truth is what it is, and this is your reality.
When did you look at it?
Wow.
I was 12.
So right away then,
that's,
you know, relatively speaking, right up, wow.
Yeah.
That's
and it, super intense.
Yeah.
Do you talk to your dad now?
You know what? So here's what happened. I didn't talk to him for 26 years. And now all of a sudden, 5 months ago, my wife was going to give birth to my first kid. It was my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And weeks before that, it was time. And I told my wife, I want to go see my dad, and I want to sit down and have lunch with my dad.
And he was out of jail at this point.
Yeah, he was out of jail.
13 years, as you said.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So he'd been out longer than he was in.
Gotcha.
And for me, it was a journey of forgiveness, right? And for me, here's what I believe. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, life happens. And so guess what? You can either be a victim or you can stand up and say, hey, it is what it is. It happens to everybody, but I'm going to rise above. I'm going to be a person of vision, not circumstance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if we can pull motivation out of all the defeat and all the failure, you're going to make this world a better place and you're going to rise above. So I went and had lunch with my dad with the sole intention of saying, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want his validation. I didn't need answers. I didn't need excuses. but I wanted to pull everything I felt about that relationship, the dysfunctionality, what could have been, what should have been, and take it all and motivate me to be a better father and a better husband.
Yeah.
So I had to find light in that situation.
So you said you had the intention of forgiving him, did you?
Yeah. So after 5.5 hours, I finally realized, you know what? I think I was trying to figure out what it was I was forgiving him for. And I needed to really feel and understand that me forgiving him isn't that I agree with you. It's not that I'm okay with what you did. It's not that the score is even.
Of course.
It just became within me. In fact, the forgiveness had nothing to do with him or his opinion. It was me coming to terms with my reality. It was me being okay with it. It was me being at peace with it. So I stood up and I said, hey, I forgive you for being lost. And I forgive you for making a mistake. And guess what? I've done both.
I know John Dorenbos is with us here in studio. And his new book is out. It's called Life is Magic. We'll certainly get into how that help pull you out of the most unspeakable darkness that any 11-year-old could possibly fathom. But part of the process was that they didn't want you to ask why. And it wasn't about that because it already happened. It's not going to bring your mom back. But did you ever ask your dad why?
Great question. So you know, but it's interesting because when I wanted to go see my dad, I then thought of the therapist. And I then thought of the moment that he said, if you want to look at this, look, I don't care. But if you look and you want to see your dad, it'll be for reasons other than why. And sure enough, here I am wanting to see my dad, and it was for reasons other than why.
That's why I asked, yeah.
So it's funny, because sports was family to me, right? Now, when you come from a broken home, you gravitate towards anything that can be a family, anything that you feel proud of.
Yeah.
And for me, the owners and the coaches, I wanted to bring pride back into my last name. And look, I was not the best. I was not the most athletic. But I think if you want to be great, you just got to show up every day.
Mm-hmm.
You show up every day, watch what happens.
Yeah.
Greatness will follow.
Yeah.
Because people don't. It's easy for people to quit, and they quit on themselves too often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just wanted the owners and the coaches that when it was all said and done to say, I don't care who I could have had, there's nobody else I would have wanted but Dorenbos.
That's right.
That was my goal.
Right. Yeah. The path to success is not crowded because too many people get off looking for a shortcut, right?
It's so true.
It's absolutely true.
I love that.
It's absolutely true. Now, how did football come into play here?
So I'm in high school, right? My buddy comes up to me and goes, hey, you want to play high school? I'm like, no way, dude. High school's for dorks. I like magic. Right? So, and then he goes, yeah, but you can hit that guy and not get in trouble. And I was like, that sounds pretty cool. Now, here's what I didn't even realize at the time. See, at night I would go home. I'd shuffle cards. I'd listen to Yanni, track number 9.
Yanni,
We only had. Wow.
Don't claim that, dude.
Look, I need to have an asterisk here. This has to officially go down.
Not claim that.
It's bad. But when I got adopted by my aunt, who was my mom's sister, we didn't have a lot. We had two CDs: John Cicada and Yanni.
That's a tough call, man.
It's just another day.
I'd go for Cicada.
I'd go for Cicada over Yanni. I can listen to that for about 30 seconds.
I'd go for Cicada over Yanni. Who do you go for, D?
But Yanni had the piano. I probably
would have ended up Yanni.
Yeah, yeah, I know you would have, dude. He's an MIT guy. He would have done Yanni all day long. You know, so I would shuffle, and that's where so for me, cards is where the world just disappeared. It's where the world quieted, and it's where I could just be a kid. I wasn't thinking about losing my parents. I wasn't thinking about foster care. I wasn't thinking about, you know, because for me, it was I was going to the school, and I felt like I had a sign that said, my dad killed my mom, I'm seeing a shrink, and it was awkward.
Yeah.
You're trying
oh,
to find
God,
yourself,
geez,
right?
I can only imagine, yeah.
So when I shuffled cards, guess what? All that just disappeared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so cards were my savior in that aspect. But now you got this anger, you got rage, you got all these feelings of emotion, and you don't have an outlet. Well, when I hit football, are you kidding me? I get to hit that dude, not get in trouble?
Yeah.
And look, I was a long snapper, which Tiki will probably vouch for this. In the NFL, I don't know if my peers would consider me an athlete. You know what I mean? But back in the day in high school. Yeah, man. But back in the day in high school, I could run around
sure
and hit some people.
Old county, you know? Linebacker.
Which actually, I do have to – this is another asterisk. Let's put this on the record. I led the league in tackles but did not make all league. Are you
really?
Kidding me?
What?
Really bitter. I'm not my high school Hall of Fame. Still a little bitter at that, too. We won't talk about that. But I was a linebacker, fullback.
Yeah, I'm being serious. No. A very fast but serious question. Are you not in the Hall of Fame because of what happened with your family? Do you think there's any of that?
No, in my high school?
Yeah. Or was your high school full of great players?
No. You played 14 years in
Norm
the NFL.
Johnson went to my high school. Offspring went to my high school.
Ah.
You know what? Maybe my high school doesn't even have a Hall of Fame. That might be.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that'll
right.
explain.
Well, maybe
I guess that
makes
sense.
Right.
I guess
put yourself that in makes it.
Sense. Hey, but look, being a long snapper in the NFL, I know this. One of my good buddies, Ryan Keel, who was with me at UVA, he was a stud at UVA as a defensive tackle. Got to the NFL, he didn't measure up. So he long snapped. He found a niche.
He did it for a long time.
He did it for a long time, like 16 years, I believe. 16 or so years. He was only with the Giants for a few there. But, you know, how did you fall into the niche?
Yeah, how did you start spinning it?
Yeah.
All right, so I my senior in high school, I could do it better than anybody else, so I'd throw it back there. but I wasn't a snapper. I was a linebacker that could just get it back there. So then I go to JUCO. I go to Golden West Junior College. They're 0-30. I figured if I can't play there, hang it up. So they go 0-10. We go 0-40. I'm a part of the longest losing streak in college football history.
No, that's
just
not true.
Just killing it, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not a lot of recruits coming out of Golden West Junior College back in the day.
Wow.
So what happens is I create a highlight tape, right? And so I put my highlight tape. And I was I'm gonna say it right now. I was pretty freaking good. You know what I mean?
Dude, you made the NFL.
Yeah, right.
I know
so
you were good.
I'm putting my highlight tape together. Now, I'm not a big hitter. I never have been. But open field and, you know, covering the receiver slots. You know, okay, cool. And it's good tape. Nick Heinle, beast. We rotated. I was 47. He was 48.
Okay.
Both white dudes. Great film. No internet. No HD. Who's the wiser?
Yeah.
So I took some of his highlights from the VHS tape and I put it on mine. And I took
you gotta be kidding me.
A few of his really big hits. Okay. So now there's like this guy running around, you know, with the receivers covering guys, open field, taking on guards, and then this dude's blowing people up. Right. Then Tim Thurman was our 6'8" long snapper, beast. So I put some of my high school snaps on there, but he was like better than I ever was in my entire career. So I just took some of his snapping and threw it on my tape. And I said, yeah, this is me snapping in high school in JUCO. Here we go. And I sent it out. My buddy was at University of Texas, El Paso. And he called me. He's like, yo, dude, we need a long snapper. And so that's what put me on. That's why I put Tim on there, because I need some recent footage. I just didn't have any. So I sent that bad boy out there. And they called and was like, hey, we'd like to give you a full, you know. So then you go meet him and you do the dance. And they're like, we'd like to offer you a full scholarship to be the long snapper at University of Texas, El Paso.
Oh, my God.
And I said, yes, wow. Yes, I will. And I went in. And now, like, that's kind of when I started to hone my skill, right? And so sure enough, I kind of became a long snapper, because really I was just trying to do whatever I could to be a linebacker and play Division I. I wanted to play college football because I wanted to run out in front of 100,000 people.
That was
my sole reason. I want to be a rock star. Can't sing, can't dance, can't play an instrument. So that was my sole reason for wanting to play college football. Yeah. Was the energy in the crowd.
But you can't
do maniac.
But you can't do card tricks.
Oh, come on, man! Yeah, man, you better believe it. And the cards stayed with me the whole time, man.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah,
really,
but
cool.
You know, your NFL career, and you could detail it. You actually get the book and you'll read about his NFL career, or just look it up. You can find it.
Or just go to YouTube and look at the highlights. But are they really you?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know. Are they you? Somebody spliced somebody else in?
But the NFL, interestingly, because we've seen this a couple of times. I had LeSean Merritt was a running back, got a physical, routine chest x-ray, realized he had cancer. It saved his life. The same thing happened to you. You move on from the Eagles after 14 years. And you go to the New Orleans Saints, and you get a routine physical, because you have to,
mm-hmm.
and you're about that close to being dead.
Crazy. Yeah, so now put yourself in my shoes. I'm 37, just get a three-year extension. I go down to New Orleans. Now I got to reprove myself, so there's a sense of you're young again. Like, you got this new desire, right, because you got to reprove yourself. I play in a game. Doctors come back in town. I do my physical, and they're like, hey, something doesn't sound right. We're going to send you to the hospital. So I go to the hospital, I get my tests, I go back to the facility getting ready for practice, and as I'm getting ready, my phone rings. And they're like, hey, John, we don't know how to tell you this. You're never playing football ever again. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Come again? You're going to be in emergency open heart surgery probably in the next 48 hours. Don't do anything. Like, literally sit down, don't drink caffeine, don't laugh, don't cough, don't sneeze, don't lift anything over 5 pounds, and just hang tight. Doctors are on their way. This is serious.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, okay. So now, it's funny, because you become the victim route.
Mm-hmm.
It's our natural instinct to all of a sudden, what the heck? I've worked too hard. This isn't how it's going to go down. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. And then you become a victim, and you get bitter, and you get angry, and you start making excuses, and then all of a sudden you got to step out of it, because that's a choice, right? And I realized that you just got to rewrite your narrative. You got to rewrite your story. And so, believe it or not, I was in Philadelphia for a long time, and I have the record for the most consecutive games ever played, which is really, really cool.
That's sweet.
And, well, you know what? It's any record at all, I'm proud of that.
Absolutely,
one, you know?
Man.
So, but the reality is, my mom's best friend sang Wind Beneath My Wings at her funeral. And sure enough, guess what? I had the Wind Beneath My Wings as an Eagle for a long time. And I was traded down to New Orleans to have my life saved by a Saint. And in that moment, Drew Brees walked by me. So I just told myself, I was traded to New Orleans to be saved by a Saint. And all I had to do was step out of the wind, and I caught a breeze. And that breeze saved my life.
Oh, my God.
And
all right,
changed the story.
You got to stick around another second.
Yeah.
All right, is that good? You got time?
I got time.
All right. John Darabos is with us here. I want to get more into the magic here. I know you talked about the cards, but, you know, shuffling cards is one thing. And, of course, the book is entitled Life is Magic. Cards are one thing, but going next level and really, truly be able to pull some of these tricks off, which are seemingly impossible to pull off, that is definitely that's different. So we'll talk a little football. You played with Wentz for a year.
Year.
All right, we'll get a little thought on the Eagles, the current situation. We'll bounce around. This is good stuff. Obviously, an incredibly horrifically sad story, but from that, this guy somehow sitting in the studio, happy, mm-hmm. healthy, and motivated, and wow, I mean, this is about as unique a conversation I've had in a long time, so I'm happy you're going to stick around with us, man. We'll get a quick break. Tiki and Tiri more after the CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.